I want to share with you something I believe that the Lord is showing us. Something He's been showing me, and let me just share it with you. You know, we read the Word of God, and particularly a couple of verses that, let's just turn to them. If you have your Bible there, let's just turn to them. First of all, in the book of Romans, in the 5th chapter. We were in there in Sunday school this morning, but we didn't really talk about it. I see now why you want us to talk about it tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, my prayer for each and every one of you is that you're aware of what God is doing tonight. My prayer for each one of you is that you sense the goodness and the sweetness of God in at least the same measure that I'm receiving up here. And hopefully some of you get some more of it. I can't tell you what went through me as we were praying over here. I heard a couple of folks over in this area gasping, but I didn't know what was going on until I opened my eyes and I saw Nick and Janie on the floor. And it just the Spirit of God just came all over me, just the realization and the awareness of His great love and His great goodness and His great power. You know, you just can't conjure up the things of God. It's the anointing of God that causes these things to take place. And all He wants us to do is to love Him, to yield to Him, to serve Him, and to praise Him. If we'll do that, God will pour His Spirit out on this place in a way that no man has ever seen before. I'm going to share this with you. I just feel led to. It was the night of June the 4th of 1976. And it was in the living room at, what's your address? 5535 Woodland Drive. On a Friday evening at about 10 or 11 o'clock. And the place shook that night with the power of God. I mean, the place is literally shook with the power of God in manifestation. And the things that the Lord did that night. How many of you were there that night? About a half a dozen or so. The things that the Lord shared with us that night and the things that He did that night just, I use the vernacular term, just blew our minds. That was the night that, for those of you that don't remember the night, that's the night that Atlanta was saved. Does that help you? First it was Woodland Drive, and then it was Douglasville, and then it was the county, and then it was all of Atlanta. Do you remember that? Now those of you that were not there wouldn't be able to get all that, and it would take too long to explain it anyway, but that'll just remind you of the evening that it was, that particular night. And it was like Christmas, if you'll remember, with the Holy Spirit giving out His good gifts. And I know that the gifts that the Spirit of God gave that night, some of them have not yet been manifested in some of your lives, but they will be if you'll just yield to him and be open to Him. But on that night, that was the day after I had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And those of you that were fellowshipping with us at that time know that things were pretty wild there for a few days, and it was like constant prophecy just continued to come. And as we were sitting there in the living room, somebody said that night, I don't remember who it was that they'd never seen an outpouring of the Spirit of God like that. And someone said, it's almost like Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. And the Spirit of God said this, it is greater than the day of Pentecost. I will never forget that for all of my life, on this side of eternity and the other. We're living in a day that is greater than the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is being poured out in greater abundance and with greater power than on the day of Pentecost today. And it's being poured out, I want you to know, right here. Not only here, now don't misunderstand me, but right here. And we will see the manifestation of that in direct relationship and in direct proportion to our willingness to yield to the Spirit of God and to allow Him to work in our midst. God wants us to work in cooperation with Him. This verse, and then we'll come back to that. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in other words, when yet we could not help ourselves, when we were in a circumstance that we were without any strength ourselves, we were in trouble, we knew it, but we couldn't help ourselves. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul said, when we couldn't help ourselves, when we couldn't do anything to save ourselves, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Now, the phrase I want you to pay particular attention to in there is in due time. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, turn over to the book of Colossians, the third chapter. I'm sorry, not Colossians, Galatians. Book of Galatians. It's in the shuns, so I had that much right. Galatians chapter 4, the fourth verse. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Paul said that God sent Christ to redeem us so that we might be adopted by God as His own sons. And when did He send Jesus? When the fullness of time was come. Now, most folks will read those passages of Scripture and say that God had determined by some hidden plan when Jesus was going to be manifested, and when so many weeks and months and days and years and centuries and ages had finally passed, then the time was fulfilled and Jesus came. That's only partially true. The Lord's been dealing with me for a long time about His, and we've shared a lot of this in our services together, about the responsibility of God's creatures, you and me, and how it is possible to limit God in your life. It is possible to withhold God's best for you because of your own desires or because of your unwillingness to yield to God. Do you think, we've been talking here about the goodness of God. We've been talking about His great grace. Do you not think that a good God, a gracious God, that the day Adam sinned in the garden, that He would have immediately right then sent Jesus to redeem them? Why didn't He do that? Why didn't He send Jesus the same day? Why did He wait 6,000 years? Why didn't Jesus come right then? When God wanted to find a man on the earth at the time of Noah, why did He pick Noah? Why didn't He just send Jesus? Why did He bring His redemption then? In the time that succeeded from there, He looked over the earth and He found a man, Abraham. And He called Abraham to come and to serve Him and to follow Him. Why didn't He send Jesus then? Now, if Jesus wasn't just created on the day of Christmas, was He? We know that all Jesus did was take on a new body that day. He wasn't born on Christmas Day. We sing the song, born on Christmas Day. He wasn't born on Christmas Day. The Bible said that He was pre-existent with the Father.
Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. All he did was take on a human body that day. The incarnation took place. He wasn't born. He just took a body. Why didn't he do it years and years and years ago? Well, folks say that they'll read this scripture and they say that God arbitrarily, by his plan and something that we don't understand, God decided that it would be good for Jesus to come at zero, right when B.C. turned into A.D., that's when Jesus would come. Well, now there's something very curious about that. Because back in the shuns again, in 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, I want you to see something here. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God lives, you see, in the eternal now. He was ready on the day that Adam sinned to send the Redeemer. He was ready on the day of the flood rather than to send the flood to send the Redeemer. But he couldn't send the Redeemer until the time was fulfilled. What time? What time? We see in beginning in the 3rd chapter of Genesis that God immediately, on the sin of Adam, when he expelled him from the garden, immediately that very day, God Almighty began to set a plan in motion for the redemption of man. A plan that he would have to fulfill point by point by point until the Redeemer should come. Why? Because Adam could not have received the Redeemer. Adam could not have received Jesus. Abraham could not have received the Redeemer. Noah could not have received the Redeemer. David could not have received the Redeemer. In the fullness of time, do you know what made time full? Mankind, God's creation, becoming prepared through a long period of centuries, God working with them, sending first Abraham, then sending Isaac, then fulfilling his promise in Jacob, then sending 12 sons, then sending all of the prophets. And when Jesus came, the scripture says, he came to fulfill all that the prophets had declared. He was the fulfillment of the plan of God. Mankind would not have been able to receive the Son of God had he come any sooner. Now let me draw you a comparison. How many of you believe that a person can be saved today, the very day he desires to do so? How many of you believe that? All right, put your hands down. How many of you believe that a man has to wait for a period of time until he comes to God's time schedule for him and he can be saved on that day? See, the Bible says that now is the accepted time. Today, right now, this is the day of salvation. Right now, God works in the today. God wants, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God wants today to be the day of salvation for you. There's no fullness of time for you. It's today, right now, today, this very day. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. God doesn't want to wait until tomorrow. He will if you force him to. Do you see that? In the fullness of time, you may be saved. But it's not the fullness of God's time, it's the fullness of yours. God began with Abraham, you see, to reveal himself to mankind. If you go back to the beginning of the book of Genesis and read it on through, what you're going to see is a plan of redemption that God was working out from the very beginning, from the day that he sent Adam out of the garden, because on that very day he slayed animals, you'll remember, and shed blood, and took the skins and covered over his man and his woman. And he began to reveal himself to man, his creation, little by little by little, as much as they could understand, as much as they could receive. And in the fullness of time, Yes, God knew when the time was. Yes, God knew exactly when it would take place. Yes, God knew the day that it would happen. Yes, God knew the virgin's name. Yes, God knew her intended's name. Yes, God knew where the inn was. And yes, God knew how many pieces of straw were in the manger on which his little head lay. Yes, yes, yes. But God was limited, that's what I want to say, limited by the creation that he had made, and he could not reveal the Redeemer until time had been fulfilled. Do you see that? The same thing, you see, as salvation being received today. Now, I want to take that truth, that basic truth, and I want to show you what God has shown us today. And I want to bring that just to us. I've already said that if there's anybody here tonight that is not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I didn't say not a church member, because that won't do it. I tell you, the churches are full of members that are lost. Being baptized won't do it. There are a lot of baptized people. I tell you, Satan is probably going to have more baptized people in hell than he will non-baptized. I'm talking about being born again, like the girls were singing about tonight. Being truly saved, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're not saved tonight, tonight is the night of salvation. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. You need not wait until 12 o'clock tonight. You need not wait until tomorrow morning. You need not wait until next week. You need not wait until next year. You need not wait until you're laying on your deathbed and you cry out to Jesus, but you don't know how to find him because your heart has become so hard because you've lived 75 years in sin. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the day. And he'll wash all that sin away and give you the new life, just like that. It happens that quick. All right? Today's the day. Today is the day to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Today is the day to receive all the benefits of salvation. Today is also the day for us to do the work as the people of God that he wants for us to do. Today is the day for us as the body of Christ, all over, plus here locally. Today is the day for us to do what God has called us to do. But if we're not ready to do it, God is going to have to prepare us, isn't he? He's going to have to work with us. He's going to have to develop us, develop our obedience and our openness and our yieldedness and our faith to the place where we are willing to do. Now let me draw you another example out of the Old Testament. This will be a familiar one. God had promised to his people the land of Canaan. He said, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it's a good land, kids. It's a blessed land there. And I've got it just for you. It won't cost you anything. You're going to take grapes off of vines that you never planted. I'm going to give you that good land. All right, he led them across the Red Sea with mighty miracles in Egypt. He delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. Plague after plague he brought upon the Egyptians. The scripture says, with a strong and a mighty hand, he led them out of the land of bondage. Now, with a strong and mighty hand, God Almighty's led us out of bondage too, hasn't he? Every single one of you that are saved today and was lost before, God with a strong and mighty hand has led you out of bondage of one form or another. You've been led out of Satan's bondage. You've been delivered into the kingdom of God. Do you know what the strong and mighty hand is in the Word of God? It's Jesus Christ. That is the strong and mighty arm of God. The Bible says with a strong and mighty arm, he led them out of the land of bondage. Miracle after miracle after miracle. He brought them to the Red Sea. He told Moses, you just speak to the people, stand still and watch the salvation of God. Stick your rod out, Moses, and watch the water part. And Moses did, and the children of Israel stood there and the water parted. They went across on the dry ground. When Pharaoh and his chariots came along behind, they all drowned. Right? God delivered them from that and destroyed the horse and rider in the sea. We sing the song about the horse and rider destroyed in the sea. That's what that's all about. Okay? Then they come across the desert and they come to a place that's called Kadesh Barnea. It's a place right outside the promised land. He told his children to go on into the promised land. They said, we be not able to go in because there's giants in there. It is a good land. There's milk and honey flowing in the land. It's just like God said, but there are giants in there and they'll kill us. We can't go in. Now, God said they could. And if they would have gone that day, you know what would have happened?
God would have given them victory over those giants, wouldn't he?
How many of you believe that they'd have been slaughtered if they'd have gone in that day? Of course not. Today is the day of salvation in God's time plan. Today is the day. That day was the day of their deliverance into the promised land. But they said no. 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 I don't believe you, God. That's what they said. I don't believe you, God. I don't believe that you're able to deliver us. Therefore, we're not going in. God said to them, all right, if you'll not go in, you'll wander in the desert. You'll wander in the desert long enough until all of you die, and I'll give that land to your children. That's what he said, and that's what he did. And 40 years later, when they came up to when they came to the river, and Joshua says, we're going across, you know what they said this time? Let's go, Josh. Let's go, we're ready now. We saw what happened to Mom and Dad. We're not going through that again. Let's go. And they went across. And God parted those waters for them too. Not many people know that, but when Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River, God parted the river again. He parted the Jordan River the third time. God has parted water at least three times in the Old Testament. Most folks don't know that. You see, he can do the same thing again. He's not only a one-shot God. He can do it again and again and again. All right, now, God had said, take the land, but they refused because of their unbelief and because of their disobedience. It took God 40 years, 40 long years it took God to mold those rebellious dissidents, that's what they were, rebellious dissident slaves into a nation with God as their head, who would listen to him, obey him, believe him, and take the land. It took God 40 years to do it. Now, folks will say, in the fullness of time, God led them into the promised land. Yeah, but why did it take 40 years? Is that what God wanted? No. God wanted them to go in the first day, but they refused to go. Now, the same thing holds true for you and for me. And that same thing holds true for us as the Water of Life Christian Center. God, the Bible says, changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His ways are higher than our ways, that's true. But he's shown us what his ways are. They're here in the Word. And what our Father is doing to us and for us right now is preparing us, teaching us, equipping us, allowing us to be tried, nurturing us and developing us to a place where God says, will you fall on your knees before me and praise me? We will do so. And when he says, will you lift your hands and just praise me? We'll lift our hands and praise him. And then when he says, will you go across the river into the promised land? We'll go. If you can't lift your hands and praise God at the enjoinder of the Holy Spirit, how can you ever go into the promised land? Amen? It's right, isn't it? Do you see it? Now, this is what I want to get across to you tonight. And as I said, the Lord has been dealing with me about this in lots of different ways recently. And again this afternoon, right before we came over. I didn't know that this was going to take this kind of a turn. But I was looking back over some things that the Lord had spoken to me over a year ago. And there was a period of time there, he still does it some, but not as much as he used to. About a year ago, almost every time I'd go to pray, I mean when I'd be alone in my private devotion, almost every time he'd tell me, get a pencil and just start to write. And I would write. Some of those things I've shared with you. And one of the things that he said, I picked it up three times this afternoon, that he spoke to me last November on three separate occasions, was about the very thing that I'm telling you about. About his preparation. About the fullness of time. God's dealing with us about that right now. So turn back, if you will, the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 7. I've shared this with several of you. The Lord has shown me this verse of Scripture about 3 times, again, in the last year. And he tells me things, and then he says to share them. And so I just obey him and do it and trust that he'll witness these things to your heart. Chapter 7, book of Deuteronomy, Moses talking to the children of Israel. Now, I want you to think about our own situation here today.
There's a good meal I had about 5 hours ago. I just said a little more of it there.
The scripture, God has given us the scripture so that we'll understand his ways, so that we'll know how he operates. Since the Bible says he doesn't change, once we know how he functions and what his ways are, then we expect him to be the same way. See, he's not like man. He's the same all the time. And I'm not talking about figuring God out. I'm talking about opening ourselves up to the revelation of God and the way that he works. For those of you that have earthly fathers, that know your earthly fathers and have fellowship with them, you want to know your earthly father, don't you? You want to know how he thinks? You want to know how he does things? Well, so much the more for our heavenly Father. All right, this is what he told Moses. Moses then told the children of Israel, and there's a powerful truth in this little verse right here. Verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Now remember that when God told Moses to take the children of Israel into the promised land, it was not a vacant land. It was a land that was occupied by powerful nations. There were many nations there. They were powerful nations. They already had the land under cultivation, and they had dominated the land. When God said it's a land flowing with milk and honey, it was flowing with milk and honey. Not naturally. These others had planted vineyards and planted fig and olive orchards. They had the land under cultivation and under control. It was a beautiful land. God was going to drive them out because of the life that they had lived, and he was going to give that property and that blessing to those that loved him. The Lord thy God will put out these nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. All right, now think about this with me just for a little bit. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they're wandering through the wilderness. They were like a Median people. If God had gone into the promised land, supernaturally driven all of the occupants out, the Jews, the Hebrews, were not big enough. They didn't have enough people to occupy the land. They would have only been able to occupy, cultivate, look after, and take care of a small portion of it. And what would happen to the rest? By the time they had multiplied and grown and been prepared and equipped to take care of the rest of it, it would have all grown up in briars, the wild beasts would have been in there, and it no longer would have been a land flowing with milk and honey, you see. It would have been destroyed. God said, here's the way I'm going to do it for you, children. I'm going to drive these nations out little by little by little, so that as you come in, you occupy this portion, and when you've got that under control, then we're going to drive out another nation, and you move into that, and then you occupy that, and you have that under control, and then we're going to drive out another nation, and then you move on into that as you're multiplying, and you get that under control and under cultivation, and eventually, as you grow, you will have the entire land under your occupation and your dominion. Now, God has shown me that that's exactly the same thing that will happen right here in this place in our ministry. God has shown me that he's got a mighty, powerful, wonderful, beyond the scripture, ministry for Water of Life. Now, I don't say that because I'm part of it. I'd be satisfied if we had you 100 folks and we just come together on Sunday, you know, a couple times a day, and we come together through the week and we just worship God and praise him. And then we'd have a ministry here in the community and just, you know, have it kind of nice and neat. You know what I mean? I mean, that'd suit me just fine. That'd be all right. But God's put in my heart, I know he's put in the heart of many of you, the thing I'm talking about. A greater vision, a larger concept. He said in the Word, enlarge your tents, set out your stakes, move them out a little bit. See, God's got more to do here. And it will happen in the fullness of God's time. What is the fullness of God's time? Does it have to be next month or next year or 5 years from now? No. It'll be when we're ready. It will be when we are prepared. It will be when we can occupy what God's given us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I, for one, do not want to limit God. I don't want to hinder Him a day. Because, you know, if we do hinder just a day, just a day, can you imagine how many people could be lost? Do you realize how many people, let me just draw, I'm just going to give you an example here. This may sound crazy to you, but how many of you are familiar with the Christian Broadcasting Network? Almost all of them. Do you know that that network has powerful influence and impact over many lives every single day? Would you imagine that somebody's life would be blessed every day by that ministry? You think one person maybe? Hundreds, thousands. But now suppose that the Christian Broadcasting Network went off the air for one day. Suppose it was the day that your father was going to watch and get saved. Suppose it was the day that your brother was going to watch and get healed. Would you want that? I don't want it. Now, CBN, you see, said, what are you talking about, Vic? I mean, that's a tremendous ministry. My goodness, they've got a powerful thing going. But do you know what they had when they started? A man, his wife, $70, and a vision from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And do you know, he went down to the bank and opened up a checking account with $3. Do you know how much the checks charge was for the first batch of checks? $6. He opened up his checking account with minus $3. Okay? Now, so the Lord has been showing me to despise not small beginnings. Despise not four women around a coffee table seeking God. Despise not 30 people in a living room at 1:30 in the morning that God calls a church. Despise not 50 folks gathered in a rent-free building at the EMC praising God and just worshiping Him. Despise not 100 or 200 coming into a concrete block room like this and just praising God and worshiping Him. With a pastor who's never been to school. On a piano that has seen better days. See? With a floor that's got holes in it. Despise not small beginnings. That's my point. Despise not. Just because of, you know, I look back on what has happened and my goodness, I get excited because I see what God has done. Those of you that have been involved at all from the beginning and see what God has done in just a short time, in a year, 2 years, can you imagine what God is able and will do in the next year? In the next 5? I don't want to miss a minute of it. I don't want to miss a minute of it. And I don't want to do anything that would hold up God's plan. I don't want to do a thing. If He wants us to do something tomorrow, I want to be ready for Him tomorrow. I don't want Him to have to put it off 8 weeks or 8 years. You see what I'm driving at tonight? What I just feel the Spirit of God saying is to each one of us tonight, is recognize your importance in the kingdom of God. Recognize how important, how absolutely essential each and every one of you are individually, and we are collectively. I want you to remember this night. I believe in the years to come we're going to remember this particular night, right now, December the 3rd, 1978. I believe it's going to be an important night. I believe we're going to remember that. As I look back over the last year and think about what we were doing last year at this time, and then when I look ahead and just to see what I know God is able to do, and nights like this, when we have services like this, what God is doing, I hope that you can see this, what God is doing is preparing. What the Lord is doing is developing. What the Lord is doing is molding. What the Lord is doing is making of us what He wants us to be. He's breaking down what we think we ought to be, and he's building up what he wants us to be. The scripture says that in the house of a rich man, there are vessels that are made unto honor and those unto dishonor. There are golden and silver vessels, and there are wood vessels and brass vessels. It's just like in your house, you have crystal water glasses that you serve with your best china. You also have a doggy dish. You don't ever put your doggy dish on the dining room table with your good dishes, do you? Nor do you put your good crystal, you see, out in the garage to feed the dog with. God wants all of us to be good crystal. See, he wants us to be vessels made unto honor, every one of us. Now, there's only one thing. Let me just say this. There is only one thing that you can do. You cannot make yourself into what God wants you to be. I don't care how well you know the future. I don't care how clearly God has revealed to you what he wants you to be. You cannot make yourself what God wants you to be. So stop trying. There's only one way that you can be what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. And that's to let him make you. That's to let him make you. Do you hear what I said? It's to let him make you. Ephesians 2, the 10th verse. For we are his workmanship. Philippians 2, about verse 11. For it's him that is in us, working and willing his own good pleasure. God's at work in you. He's at work in us tonight as a church. Praise the Lord. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. In the fullness of time, we'll see that ministry that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Praise his mighty name. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for what you shared with us. I pray, Father, for any that this may be news, that you would just take this word, Father, and just really minister it in a powerful way into their hearts and into their minds. Give us, O God, a vision, all of us, collectively and together. Give us a vision of what we can be for you. Not that we would ever be lifted up, Father. For we desire only to lift Jesus up. But we so want to be used by you in that way and to that end. Take this message tonight, Father, and just impress it upon our hearts. And Lord, I for one, and as many others as will agree with me in this prayer, we yield ourselves unto you as fully and as completely as we know how to do, without any known reservation, so that you might do with us and in us what you want to do. Now, we really mean that, Father. And Lord, if there is some reservation in us, if there is some hindering factor that's inside us that we don't even know, we're not aware of, we ask you to reveal that in the days to come, even right now, Father, if it be possible. Reveal them to us so that we might throw them off. For we are persuaded and we're convinced that we will, and we're resolved, that we will cast aside every weight. We will lay aside even the sin that so easily besets us. We'll cast aside every burden and every heaviness, every anxiety and every worry, every hindrance of any kind we will cast aside, that you may have full sway in our lives to prepare us, to equip us, to do what you want us to do. And Father, we do know that those who are here tonight are here for just your purposes. And we ask you, Father, that you would take this, just take this that's been ministered tonight, and share it with as many others as in your wisdom it's right to do. And Father, we just thank you, each one of us, that we were here tonight, that we've heard your word, that we have shared in that which you have for us, and that we have been recipients tonight of the grace and the ministry of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we give thanks.